In the summer of 2015, I flew from North Carolina to Fort Worth, Texas to attend the Podcast Movement Conference. I hadn't started my first podcast at that time, but one of the main reasons I went was to meet people in the industry. I wanted to make connections, build relationships, and find out from the people on the inside what it takes to be successful. In the offline business world, we often talk about the importance of networking and making connections. And the same is true for the digital world. In fact, one of the podcasters I met in Fort Worth was a guy by the name of John Naster. John is host of the podcast Hack the Entrepreneur. He's a highly successful podcast that's all about business and entrepreneurship, and John has interviewed hundreds, if not thousands, of entrepreneurs and business owners. John, a Canadian, was one of the first people I met and one of the first people I interviewed for the Remarkable podcast when I launched it shortly after. John was kind enough to introduce me to a successful entrepreneur and podcaster from Israel, a guy by the name of Meron Bereket. Now, Meron and I got to talk a little bit and got to know each other, and he introduced me to a guy by the name of Nathan Chan, an Australian entrepreneur who founded Founder Magazine, who you heard from last week, and who you're about to hear from again. But think about that. I flew halfway across the U.S., and I met someone from Canada who introduced me to someone from Israel, who introduced me to someone from Australia. And that led to the conversation that you're about to hear. So whether you're building a blog, a side hustle, or an online business, don't ever underestimate the power of networking, making connections, and building relationships. I've never met a successful person who tried to go it alone and do everything by themselves. And speaking of success, we're going to hear a few clips from the second half of my interview with Nathan Chan. You're going to hear his thoughts on sharing content across multiple platforms, which social media channels drive the most of their traffic, and their number one focus when it comes to marketing. But before we hear from Nathan again, let me stop for a second just to say hello and welcome to Quit Pinching Pennies, the faith-based podcast for moms and dads who want to work less and earn more so they can quit pinching pennies and focus on what matters most, like family, homeschooling, working from home, adoption, giving, or missions. I like to call it faith-based lifestyle design, or the four-hour work week for people of faith. I'm your host and teacher, Dave Mooring, and I'm so glad you're here listening to this episode. Now, when it comes to creating content, I know many of you get overwhelmed. You feel like you have to write blog posts and then create something different for Facebook and then something yet different again for Instagram and maybe something different for your email subscribers, the people in your list, and on and on and on. And you worry that if you share the same thing more than once, well, you're going to upset your readers or your fans, or people are going to get mad at you, or maybe you're even going to get penalized by Google or something like that. So I asked Nathan, founder of Founder Magazine, how he utilizes content and how he treats sharing the same type of content across multiple channels. So magazine content, podcast content, email, social media, and whether they have different people consuming each of those in each of those spots, or whether the same people consume it across different channels.
Our audio interviews we've always put inside the magazine. Okay. So we've always edited those audio interviews, put inside the magazine. We've taken our best ones, put them in the podcast, and now we have a podcast, and we actually have some interviews that are specifically for the podcast, and we've always had some interviews that are that we hold back specifically for the magazine. So we mix and match it. And what I found was the podcast was a brilliant way to complement the magazine, because some people prefer to listen to podcasts, and then some people prefer to read a magazine and read, you know, a themed issue packaged up, and you know they love reading magazines. So I think what I've realized is there's different ways to touch our audience collectively across many different platforms and mediums. One way is for email. There'll be some people on our email list that may not even listen to the podcast or read the magazine, but they might just read our blog content. And then there's some people in our audience that only listen to our podcast and aren't on our email list and don't read the magazine. But then there's some people that read the magazine that aren't on any of those other two that I just mentioned. And then there's some people that that listen to our podcast, that read our magazine, and that are on our email newsletter, and they love our content. And then there's some people that follow us on Instagram or one of our social channels that, you know, don't follow us on any of our other channels. So there is definite overlap. And you know, there's just, you know, we live in such a noisy world that attention is difficult. And I guess, yeah, we have little tribes or communities in many different ways or on many different platforms.
And while I realize having multiple channels is important, I wanted to know if Founder is focused on any one specific channel, and if so, which one?
We're very, very focused, and the biggest focus is to build our email newsletter database. And we've built that this time last year, due to us at around 2,000. We've got it to, you know, 105,000 almost. So, yeah, that is a big focus of ours, to be honest, because that way, when someone joins our community, like, you know, we can speak to them and let them know what we're all about, and through like an autoresponder or a drip feed campaign, and then obviously, you know, we email our newsletter community every week about a new podcast episode, when a new magazine issue goes live, and then also when a new blog post goes live, and this is all every single week. So, you know, people can hop on board and find out what's happening from all of those channels, like you said. Our biggest focus is to build a business, and one of the biggest ways to build that business is through email list. So that's what I'm very, yeah, focused on.
One of the first times I heard Nathan was when he was interviewed by Pat Flynn on the Smart Passive Income podcast. And in that particular episode, Nathan talks about how he built a massive Instagram following and the power that it has to help grow his business. So I asked Nathan how that large Instagram audience, which by now is over 1 million people, has helped grow his readership and his email list.
I launched the podcast just before I started doing stuff on Instagram. And we've built that from zero to 400,000 in 11 months. So you can see the momentum you can build with things if you're just super consistent. That's been a big driver on growth of our email newsletter. We can drive anywhere between like all the way up to 30,000 opt-ins now a month, depending how hard we push. So, and when I say opt-ins, that's email opt-ins for your audience. So yeah, that's been a massive channel. That's one of our best forms of customer acquisition, not just from building our email newsletter database, but everything, dude. Like, I try and post about the podcast once a week, and every single time I post about the podcast, I see a spike in our downloads on Libsyn. You know, we get an extra couple of thousand listeners. You know, also, whenever I post about a lead magnet or a special guide or something, I always see a spike in the amount of signups that we get, email signups from Infusionsoft. And then also, you know, when a new magazine issue goes live, when I post about it on Instagram, I always see a spike in downloads and sales. So, yeah, look, it's just such an amazing platform. I think it's very powerful.
While most of the interview was focused on content, building an audience, and marketing, I was curious as to how much help Nathan had in running his business. I got the impression it was much more than a one-man show at this point, and I thought it would be helpful for people like yourself who are maybe building something small, but you have hopes of building something a little bit larger, or maybe you're already at the point where you need to get additional help, whether it's marketing or writing or virtual assistant or things like that. So I wanted to get Nathan's perspective on who he had helping him run Founder Magazine.
We have quite a few contractors that we work with. We have at least 10 to 15 contract writers. We have an editor who helps with the magazine and also our blog content. Then we have a full-time content. So our editor's part-time. Obviously, our writers are all freelancers, just contracting. Editors working this book part-time. And we've got a full-time content crafter who's with me on the ground. Writers all around the world. Tate, our editor, is in the States, in Boston, works with us part-time. We've got a part-time virtual assistant in the Philippines, Cherry. We've got Angela, who's a full-time virtual assistant in the Philippines as well. Then we have, who else? Yeah, that's about it. Oh, then we have like our designer in India, Karen. Then we have also his contract, obviously a freelancer. Then we have Ballas, our AV editor, who's freelancer contract as well. We are scaling up the team though. Like I do plan to make a few more full-time hires. I think like what I'm trying to do at the moment is build up those asset, like those parts of the business, so they run themselves without me. And that just comes down to empowering our team members, having solid documentation and stuff like that. And it's getting to a point now, I can confidently say, where, you know, I could take holidays for a couple of months. As like, you know, as long as I've done the interviews, things should work pretty smoothly. The only things that wouldn't work is all the emails that I get around amazing opportunities and stuff, where I kind of need to make some decisions, or I need to, you know, drive that. Because we've got some really cool things happening, like partnerships, business deals, you name it. You know, just those big things to move the needle forward and grow the business. But yeah, the day-to-day operations, you know, monthly magazine, podcast, blog content, social content, all that stuff could operate without me, which is pretty cool.
And last but definitely not least, I asked Nathan if he had any parting words for podcasters who want to stand out and be remarkable. And while I know most of you aren't podcasters, listen to his advice because I think it's extremely relevant and important, regardless of what industry you're in or what niche you're in or what type of content you produce.
I think podcast space is very, there's a lot of podcasts now, you know, there's a lot of people trying to create podcasts, and I think you have to find a way, like you said, to be remarkable, be to stand out, whether that's to get hard to reach interviews, hard to reach guests, whether that's you do long form on a certain niche topic, or whether that's, you know, just editing the absolute crap out of your podcast episode, like how Meron would say, it's like what you keep, you know, it's all about, you know, what you remove, and he's very savage on editing his stuff and tries to get it down to only the best stuff. Like, I think you just have to find out a way to do cool stuff for your audience that they're going to appreciate, and he's going to find a way to be a little different, you know. I think that's really, really important.
I absolutely agree with Nathan on the importance of being different, on standing out, on being remarkable. I mean, after all, my first podcast is called Remarkable, and it's all about how to stand out. But as I'm sure you've realized by now, standing out and being remarkable is not always easy to do. It's not intuitive on how you should be remarkable. And, you know, you don't want to be remarkable just for the sake of standing out and getting attention. You want to stand out in such a way that people value that. They love what you do. They become a fan of what you do. And because I know that's not easy, that's one of the topics that we actually cover in the Super Simple 1K course. And I wanted to mention that again in this episode, because right now I've got enrollment open again for new students for the Super Simple 1K course. And if you're not familiar with what Super Simple 1K is, just real quick, it's an 8-week class where I teach you how to build a $1,000 a month side business with a focus not on spending money and wasting time on logos and websites and all those different things that really can distract us, but just actually doing the work that's required to get something up and off the ground as quickly as possible. So I'm going to show you how to come up with an idea, and if you have an existing idea, how to make sure that that's a really good idea before you get too far down the road and wish you had picked a different idea. I'm going to show you step by step how to validate your idea, make sure that people are willing to pay for it, and then finally teach you how to get your first few paying customers, and then how to grow those customers into more customers and up to $1,000 a month. And if that sounds like something that you're interested in, well, you can learn more and enroll over at supersimple.com/1K. That's supersimple.com/1K. And if you're an existing small business owner or a solopreneur and you're struggling to have sales or to get people to buy the product or service that you're offering, this would be a really great opportunity for you to either go back through the validation process to make sure that the types of services and products that you're offering are in line with what people want and are willing to pay for, or to actually get, help you go through the process of coming up with a new product or service that you could be able to offer to your existing customers or even new customers, but give you that confidence, you know, that your service or your product is in line with what people are looking for. It meets a specific need. It stands out. It's remarkable, and it's something willing to pay for. And to go through and do all that before you update your website, before you build the product, before you create the course or write the ebook or what have you. So it would also be a good opportunity for you, and I would love to have you in the course as well. So again, if that's you, you can check it out at supersimple.com/1K. Otherwise, if you'd like to connect with me online, you can do so at supersimple.com or by checking out my free private Facebook group, Quit Pinching Pennies, which is a group of other dads and moms who are building online businesses or side businesses or blogs. And you can find it by going to quitpinchingpennies.com. And that's going to redirect you over to the Facebook group, and you can request to join there. I'd love to connect with you and chat with you there. And lastly, if you enjoy this episode, be sure to subscribe so that you get notifications right off the bat when I release new episodes. And if you like what you hear, I would love if you would leave me a honest review on iTunes or Stitcher. It just helps me to spread the word, and people, you know, obviously check out reviews. So it would allow other people to have some trust before they download and listen to know that this is something valuable. But probably most importantly, if you don't do anything else, if you would just share this episode with somebody else that you think would find it valuable or would enjoy my show, my goal is to reach as many people as I can, and I would greatly appreciate that. So thanks again for tuning in and listening. I truly appreciate your time, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.